Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Victor Family Victor Malco Radio Show!
Hey folks, it's time for the show!
Welcome!
Now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack Hatfield.
Welcome to Fix the Family, Fix America, the fastest growing family talk show in all the universe. I am so glad that you are here with us today. Very, very, very happy that we are doing this show again here on the first week of April. It's not our April Fool's show, we missed that, but we are very, very excited for you to be here because we all know to put the world right in order, we must first put the nation in order. And to put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. And to put the family in order, we must first cultivate and succeed in our personal lives. I am Jack Hatfield, your humble host, here for you again for the next 120 minutes. Well, 117 minutes now, but I am ecstatic about tonight. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff that you hear some of this in the media. Reality Weekly Report, the MMWR, every week from the government. And they talk about stuff that kills you. A lot. Just today they released the teen pregnancy study. Amazing stuff. Did not know that even existed, so that is amazing that someone puts this stuff out on a weekly basis on how we're dying all around the country. And there should be someone paying that some attention is what I'm saying. Do you have any children, parents of teens that listen to music? There seems to be a problem with that. We'll get into that later on. Men, how do you know if you're healthy? There's a couple signs you could look for. We've got a bad dad, of course. Well, actually, it's more of a bad mom and a dude. It's an update on a toddler. We're going to have an update. Then we're going to learn about Mom of the Week. She's doing quite well teaching her son. Then we're going to talk about a tragic death of a 21-year-old. Very bad way to go and very bad everything. Then we're going to talk about tragic death of a couple. Another family. A lot of tragedy in today's show. It's not good at all. Again, the teen birth rate is the lowest on record, ladies and gentlemen. Teen birth rate is lowest on record. Now, does that mean abortions are up? Yes, it does mean that. But also, teens are learning lots of things. And then what hiding in your shower could kill you? That's right. What's hiding in your shower that could kill you? And then what common food allergy is no one ever hearing of? We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about sextuplets. Getting older and celebrating 1 year of life outside of the confines of the hospital. Wonderful. Another miracle story. We love those miracles here on Fix the Family, Fix America, because as you know, you, each of every one of you, have what you need. You have everything you need to succeed inside you before you were born. Now, feel free to join us on Twitter. Join me on Twitter at twitter.com/Jack Hatfield, facebook.com/TheJackHatfield, and, of course, Fix the Family, Fix America on both of those. I think they're both just Fix the Family. And join with us there. It's going to be fantastic. And, of course, at the top of the hour, we have Adele Omani's Magic Minute. A bit of wondrous, wonderful class added to the show here. Again, we got a big, big, big show for you. So let's get started here. Fix the Family, Fix America. Can't think of a better way to do this, and that is the Haley and Rachel Stansel turning 20 months, bundles of energy and curiosity, according to their parents, doing remarkably well despite their disabilities. Now, understand there were sextuplets born early at 23 weeks. Now, sextuplets are obviously going to be smaller than if the baby was alone and born at 23 weeks, but these were sextuplets that all arrived very, very early at 23 weeks, and Haley and Rachel are the last of the surviving. They lost Braden, Dalen, Ashlyn, and Caitlin, but these two are a bundle of joy, 20 months outside of the hospital. They do have some hearing and vision issues. They don't get sick that often. They're starting to run around. The vision is limited. No one's fully blind. Rachel is still fed through a tube, however, since she has trouble eating, but they are definitely getting along better. They see speech and physical therapists 3 times a week and are receiving occupational therapy. One of them weighs 20 pounds. The other one weighs 17. I won't say who weighs what, for, you know, women like to keep that a guessing game. And they're crawling and getting into everything. So, I mean, it's been a really, really, really good little journey for them. Again, 20 months out of the hospital and doing quite well. When doctors said, you know, they were not going to do very well, and they're getting around, even though there is, of course, as always with most premature children, there is some challenges, but nothing the couples and children are not getting through and over, because that's what you do when you fix the family. Amanda, the mother, got pregnant after being treated with intrauterine insemination. After giving her hormone shots to increase her chance of conceiving, and that's why she probably got the sextuplets. And they decided to try and keep all six, and they said if they tried a reduction, that's not even, I don't even know why someone would even bring that up. Hey, you got six fetuses inside you. Pick three to die. Or kill. That's just, I don't even know why that's a option. Anyway, they said they were not going to try a reduction, and they did not. Because if they did try a reduction, there was a possibility of losing all of them. So they didn't feel right about stopping life, strong heartbeats, and all of that. And a lot of people have given them negative comments about their decision, and they are just trudging through it and doing what they need to do to fix their family and succeed on their own right. So that is how we're going to start this, because that is incredible stuff. I'm so proud of Haley and Rachel. So we have got to be happy about that. You just got to be happy about that. Oh, my button doesn't work in time. I think so. It's slow here on the old board. Wait, here's something else we could have done.
Yay!
Kids are happy about it. Love starting the show with all that good news. Now let's talk about something funky. A little funky. The U.S. teen birth rate is, like I said, the lowest on record. But before we party and put our funny hats on, it is still the highest in developed countries. Let me tell you how many this is. There is 39% of teenage girls are giving birth. That's down from 61% in 1991. Now, is that due to the fact that some laws have been changed in some states? Possibly. Anyway, the 410,000 teenage girls aged 15 to 19 have given birth in the United States in 2009. And the rate is especially high geographically in the South and ethnically again among Black and Hispanic teens. The UN Demographic Yearbook teen birth rate in Canada is 14%, Japan 5%, Singapore 6%, France and Germany 10%, and the highest birth rate in Europe was Bulgaria, where it's 43%. Now again, 15-19, you're looking at, in some countries, 18 is marriageable and woman and everything else that they deem it to be. So 43% in Bulgaria may seem high, but to understand it's not teen as to what we're thinking of teen birth could be over there. Now the problems are, they're saying the latest figures are worrying for health experts, because babies born to teenagers are more likely to be underweight or premature and more likely to die during infancy. Don't know where that came from. Never even heard the two go together. Teen pregnancies equal premature births. What is happening is black and Hispanics are having more premature children across the board, and that is probably having a little issue onto that as well. They also say teen childbearing perpetuates a cycle of disadvantage because teen mothers are less likely to finish high school. Children are more likely to have low school achievement, drop out of high school, and give birth themselves as teens. I personally know this to be true. I have seen a teenage mother give birth to six children, and all six, wait a minute, no, five, have given birth to children in their teens as well. So they had one out of that. Now, the states with the highest teen birth rates, again in the South. Number one, Mississippi at 64%. New Mexico at 64%. Texas at 60%. Oklahoma 60%. Arkansas 59%. Louisiana 52%. Kentucky 51%. Alabama 50%. Alabama, Arizona, Tennessee all at 50%. West Virginia 49%. South Carolina 49%, Georgia 47%, then finally we move west, Nevada, Wyoming 47%, 45% respectively, then back over to the Carolinas, North Carolina 44%, way up north, Alaska 44%, Kansas 43%, Indiana 42%, Missouri 41%, and I don't feel like going through the rest of them. So that's where we are. They're saying that the lower educated are giving are having more teenage births than the higher educated. I don't know where you get differently educated at the teenage age. It's not like they went on to college yet, right? There's no college stuff there, so I don't know how they're figuring that out. The good stuff, the birth rates for women 20 to 39 years. Well, I don't know if this is good. This is just, that wasn't the good stuff. I was reading something else. But birth rates for women 20 to 39, in other words, the next 19 years, were down 1 to 3%. But birth rates for women 40 to 44, the next four, is the highest level reported in more than 40 years. Now, that, what does that tell you? That means that some ladies who have waited into their 40s have deemed it, that's okay. They're going to give it a shot. Now, the fertility rate declined 1% to 68%. All right. The cesarean delivery rate has risen to 32%. That's a third of all children are coming out the stomach surgery due to surgery. The premature birth rate has declined to 12%, low birth rate down very slightly. Now, that's interesting. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Twin birth rate has increased 1%, and triplet and higher has stayed the same. Now, a third of all 15 to 24-year-olds, almost 30%, have never had sex. So something's happening across the board at Fix the Family, Fix America. Now understand, these findings were based on interviews from only 13,500 men and women between the ages of 15 to 44. Now the report has also went into who was having sex with who, what kind of sex they were having, and who was not having sex at all. 15, 24-year-old men who never had any form of sexual contact from another with another person was up 27%. Women was to 29%. So the lead author of the study, Anjani Chandra, said the 15, 19-year-olds made up the lion's share of this category, which was a finding that seemed to counter other reports regarding teen sex trends. So, Just so you know, this report was put out by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the same people that I told you put out the morbidity and mortality weekly rate report. We have a sip of libation here. It is very mega hot tea, which I can't have a sip of yet. So, what do we gain from this? Of the 4,247,000 births registered in the United States, we learned that there is, that's 2% less than 2007. So, the U.S. teen birth rate goes down, according to the CDC. In asking 13,500 people. I don't know how you get 300 million people out of 13,500, but let's just take it as a sampling. They're saying everything's going peachy keen. Everything's going peachy keen. So, let's talk about this for a second. One of the things people purport to be a sign of the stability of society or the stability of families in society is teenage birth rate. Okay. The state specific teen birth rates are varying from 16 to 64. Okay? So some states are 16% and some and the highest one, Mississippi, 64%. Now, birth rates for black and Hispanic teens are 59% and 70%, compared to 25% for white teens. And the percentage of high school students who never had sexual intercourse, no, who ever had, decreased from 54 to 46. So there's less sex going on in teendom. Or if there is, the teens who did not use any method of contraceptive went down from 16 to 12. And teens that had sexual intercourse in the past 3 months used dual methods, up from 5 to 9%. Now, during 65% of all female teens and 53% of male teens received formal sex education that covered saying no to sex and provided information on methods of birth control. Overall, 44% of female teens and 27% of male teens spoke on their parents on both topics, but among teens who had ever had sexual intercourse, 20 and 31% of females and males, respectively, had not spoken to their parents about topics. Okay. So, again, the teen childbearing associated, this is all from the CDC report, I'm looking at it right now, teen childbearing associated with adverse consequences for mothers and their children imposes high public sector costs. Prevention of teen pregnancy requires evidence-based sex education, support for parents in talking with their children about pregnancy prevention. Wait a minute. We'll get in that 1 second. And other aspects of sexual reproductive health and ready access to effective and affordable contraceptive for teens who are sexually active. Now, I want to bridge this conversation with teens in, this was, what did I tell y'all, about 3 weeks ago? Wow, that's really really burnt the middle of my tongue on the libation there of hot tea with milk. Excuse me. Pardon me. I said it 3 weeks ago on this show. You guys know you're the greatest audience in the world. There were college students saying free condoms was a right, and they were fighting for it. So remember, the government does give out free condoms at most places, and there's even an app for finding that free condom dispenser available for your wonderful little blueberry or your orange or whatever, your eye orange or whatever else you use. You can get an app that will show you where the free condom dispensers are. And as you see here, you have a slight, just a tiny, tiny, tiny percent increase of contraceptive use. That does not correlate with the decrease of teen births. Understand this. Now, another thing you have to grasp in this report, ladies and gentlemen, that CDC is putting out, is that they are saying it's a 37% decrease in teenage birth rate. That's the national headline you're hearing. That's what you're hearing on the regular news. 37% decrease in teen births across the country. Everything's just peachy. What they're not telling you is the 37% decrease has occurred from 1991 to 2009. Not from last year. No, from last year, not much change. Not much change. So, what would be the reason the CDC would put out trying to show such a large decrease? Okay? They're also showing that across the board there was a 37% decrease in all teens. Black teens were 50% decrease, 41 white teens, and 33% Hispanic teens, all down. But again, this is from 1991. Got to suck the tea up so it cools off in the waves of the air. Okay, so going back to the sexual behavior and use of contraceptives, ladies and gentlemen, they're trying to say again, students reporting ever having sexual intercourse has decreased 54%. That's what you're going to hear in the report. But again, that's from 1991. From last year, not much difference. Okay? So, if a report comes out every year of where the teen birth rate is, why is this particular report talking about the 18-year span of the report? Anyone have any opinions on why that could be? Anyone have any reasons why we would try to show that teenage pregnancy is very, very low? Okay? But the teen birth rate in the United States remains 6 to 9 times higher than in developed countries with the lowest birth rates. Okay, even in the lowest states, that birth rate is 3 to 5 times higher than developed countries. Okay? Research has shown, this is very, very important, has shown that parent-child communication can delay sexual initiation and reduce sexual risk behaviors. Period. But, you know the CDC, they can't just say it's all you guys. No, no, no. It says numerous sex education programs have been shown to be effective in delaying sexual initiation or increasing contraceptive use. Then, of course, they say research has shown, they didn't say it proves, shown parent-child communication can delay sexual initiation, reduce sexual risk behaviors. Nonetheless, the report actually says this, nonetheless, consistent with other recent publications, this report suggests many teens do not receive formal sex education that covers both abstinence and contraceptives, and many teens do not talk with their parents about ways to prevent pregnancy. Now, of course, teens reading, seeing, learning, changing all through their life is not going to go to mom and dad as the number one source, as their choice. But if mom and dad can get comfortable with talking with their teen, then it is proven. That is the number one thing that can delay sexual initiation and reduce sexual risk behaviors. Number one thing. And again, I bring this up all the time because we talk about it here on Fix the Family. Teenage or child-parent communication has been shown in every single instance that is tried to be successful in deterring bad, malicious, or otherwise unwanted behavior. And you can see this even in toddler years. I can watch mothers throughout the day. Kid comes into a public place. Kid goes ape wild on stuff. Starts touching stuff, running into stuff, pulling on stuff, breaking stuff. Mom's going, no, 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 no. You need to not do that. No, you need to stop. Here, eat this candy. Here, eat this candy. Candy takes about, I don't know, 22 seconds to eat. And then they're back doing it again. If a child has the gall, well, not, it's not gall when you're a child. It has the absolute no fear in a public setting of messing with stuff and other people's stuff. Can you imagine what they do at home? Because home is your safety world. Home is a child's kind of outlet for testing and learning and becoming who you are. Home is the place where, you know, I feel the safest. It's where I sleep. It's where my parents protect me. It's where it's the greatest place in the world. But when you're somewhere new and you have absolutely no fear of that new place, you're sitting there looking at them and I know how your house acts. Your kids have toys everywhere. You ignore them vehemently. And the majority of your parenting is probably done after the fact. Meaning, who broke this? Spank, don't do that again. Don't do that again. Remember, children do not hear negatives. So all they heard was do that again. Your mind doesn't process a negative. If I tell every one of these listeners, all hundreds of millions of listeners right now to this show, don't think of the color red. some of you, get this, are thinking you won the test because you said, I'm not going to think of red. So you said, I'm going to think of blue real quick. But you still thought of red. So you get it? Your mind doesn't process that. And so parents who parent after the fact, their kids are running around like crazy freaks. Only parent after something bad happens. There's an eye missing or an arm fell off. Why did you poke your sister's eye out with this pencil that you've been running around for a week with? There's lots of things to see inside this teenage pregnancy report, ladies and gentlemen. Lots of things in this report. Now, here's the other thing this report would like to throw out at you. Okay? There are five limitations to this report. The data are based on births, not pregnancies, and therefore exclude pregnancies that do not result in live birth, i.e., abortions aren't counted. Abortions are now, remember, I think it was a month ago or whatever, and in fact, there was another story just a couple of weeks ago on this show where they made a billboard come down in New York because it said the number one killer of black children was abortion. The worst thing you can do is, I think it was the worst thing you could, the worst place you can be as a black child was in the womb. I believe that's what the board said. And they made him take it down. And now there's a new board up says how many, he's got a picture of President Obama and it's got how many heroes are we killing every day or something like that. And there's a big hullabaloo about that one as well. Remember, 60 something percent of all black children in New York are being aborted. That is not in this report. So before you put on the party hat, start jumping around the room that teen births are down, understand they're not counting abortions. So if abortions are up, then teen births really aren't down. Well, births are, but teen pregnancies are not. Remember, this report is based on birth. It used to be called teen pregnancy. Do y'all remember that? This report actually used to be called teen pregnancy, but that was getting a little too high. So this report was changed to births. Now, second in this five limitations, estimates of sexual risk and protective behaviors are self-reported. The extent of underreporting or overreporting cannot determine, can vary by sex. In other words, here's their example of what they just said. Here's what they said in regular terms. The kids that they asked could have lied. That's what that meant. But here's their example. Males might be unaware of the contraceptive methods their partners are using. That's their example of lying. Males might be unaware. Third limitation. The findings obtained through this are applicable only to youths who attend school and not representative of out of hospitals or doctors. When they found out that was getting a little too high and they broke that out, then they said, you know what? Teens that don't go to school, that's probably who we don't need to count. We need to just not count them. So we'll put them on the side too. So grasp where this report starts in teen pregnancy land back in 70 years ago. Okay. Now it's just down to teen birth of teens in school that opted to keep the child. They just keep throwing teens that they could have counted out the report. You got out of school, you're not in the report anymore. Have fun. Go crazy. You aborted your kid, you're not in this report. You go on. You have fun. Go ahead. You opted to have your child, I'm counting you. That's right. Here's the fourth one. The survey indicated majority of teen births are unattended, and we're not trying to do that because distinguishing unintended from intended births are not possible using data from this report. What? That's right. The teen that gets married or in other countries where it's common, more common, an 18 or 19 year old gets married and decides is mature enough to choose to have a child gets counted on this list as a mistake. And the only time this report mentions you parents, is that one statement. Research has shown, maybe if you read into it, that parent child communication delays the sexual initiation and reduces sexual risk behavior. How about the parent child communication that keeps the kid in school? Okay. How about the parent child communication that keeps the kid from learning that sex could have potential issues that you're not going to want to get into right now? The only time this report talks about that is in that one little blurb, and then it goes into this. Programs for preventing teen pregnancy should be broad-based and multifaceted. The program should provide evidence-based sex education, support parental efforts to talk with their children. Okay, they're saying parents do need to talk, but they can't talk without us. There has to be support. And ensure that sexually active teens have ready access to contraceptive that is effective and affordable. In other words, that free app that shows them where to get the condom. So in all, this report throws out all of the truth, brings in a small portion of the talk, and then says it's a decrease. But then at the end of it all, this decrease is caused by programs that the government has instituted and all of the contraception that it has given out. Remember, contraceptive use was only up 4%. And this was the first report to go 19 years to show the difference. Very strange workings from the CDC, ladies and gentlemen. Very strange indeed. It's very interesting to grasp, try to wrap your head around what they're trying to say and why they throw certain things out and why they barely talk about parents. The CDC is a government entity, correct? It is their job to tell us this stuff. That is the reason it was created. They are the Center for Disease Control. Disease control. Interesting. So no party hats for the lower teen stuff. No party hats at all. It's very strange. Now let's continue to talk about teens while we're doing this. Okay? Let's continue to talk about teens. First of all, parents, talk to your teens. The number one way to stop it and to keep your child on the straight and narrow is communication. And there are times when your teenage kid goes off and listens to music. Well, a new study has shown that's not good either. We'll talk about that in 2 seconds. Fix the family. Fix America. If we learn, parent communication has always been proven to be better than anything else on earth at helping teens. Here's an interesting study. Music. Teenagers who spend more time listening to music are more likely to suffer from depression than kids who opt to spend their time reading. This is a study from the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. Now, real quick, I've got to tell you right now that music was the biggest part of my life. Now, I do not know if I could actually say I read voraciously. I am a nonstop reader. I have books in the car in case the car gets stopped at a light or in traffic. I have books on every throne around the house. I have read like that since I can remember. I've read 2 sets of encyclopedia back to back, starting at A and ending at, what's that last letter? Z. I have read giant book. It was sold as the one book encyclopedia a long time ago. My parents bought it for me. I read that all the way through as well. So not just 2 sets of encyclopedias, also the book that was supposed to be the encyclopedia. I believe that book was at least 6 inches thick. Anyway, music. I have given more concerts, and I have sung. I am a karaoke DJ. I have sung more songs than most people can imagine. I have given more concerts in my room with a tennis racket as a guitar than anyone else on earth. I can guarantee you that. Because I did one just yesterday. It wasn't a tennis racket. I have now moved to blow up guitars. It's very nice. In fact, Rock Band is totally cool. So I'm torn here off the first sentence. Teenagers who spend more time listening to music are more likely to suffer from depression than kids who opt to spend their time reading. Reading, I'm sorry, but it is the number one way to end the scourge of ignorance and stupidity today. And it's not just reading, it's understanding what you're reading. Remember, ignorance and stupidity is costing families, this nation, other nations in this world, more than all wars, deaths, murders, hurricanes, tornadoes combined. So reading to me is vastly, vastly important. Music. Wow. Music moves the soul. You put on, my daughter sits there and she says something so incredible. She'll go, "Daddy, I want to listen to B.B. King tonight. I want to listen to some blues." And you get a tear in your eye and you go, "Oh my God." I have personally sat next to B.B. King. I have a signed Lucille. And when your six-year-old daughter goes, I want to hear B.B. King blues tonight, you tear up. When your daughter says, Sinatra. Sinatra would be nice tonight. Or when it's a fancy schmancy dinner that we have on fancy schmancy dinner night, she goes Sinatra. Or if it's a really big night, it's spa. She calls the new age calming music or music that you would hear in a spa music for fancy schmancy dinner nights. Now that's exciting to me. Music is amazing. I've played for her the classics. One of those three channels are on most of the time. If the TV's not on it, that as much as music is. So music is massively amazing. But you walk into our house, and the first thing you're going to notice is there's a stack of books. Approximately every 6 feet. There's one to the left and right of me right now. Where I sit, all thrones, again, all thrones, have a stack of books next to them. Bed, stack of books. Her room, stack of books. Her book bag, stack of books. Her toy cabinet is books. The entire top shelf of her closet is books. You want to talk about reading? This is reading. So off the bat, first statement, teenagers spend more time listening to music are more likely to suffer from depression than kids who outspend their time reading, says a university of the greatest city in the world, School of Medicine. Okay. Now, here's the deal. Here's what they're saying. Let's go into this a little bit real quick since we're talking about teenagers right off the bat. There's a growing body of evidence that media exposure is linked to emotional health. Now, right off the bat, the study, the headline, and the study are vastly different. Over a two-month period, the researchers called the participants as many dozens of times and asked them to report what types of media they were using, including television, music, video games, internet, magazines, and books. What they found were adolescents who spent the majority of time listening to music were 8.3 times more likely to be depressed. On the other hand, those who read books, one-tenth. That's right. Eight times one-tenth. Here's something they said. At this point, it is not clear whether depressed people begin to listen to more music to escape. Has anyone ever heard of Hank Williams? I've got to call the University of the greatest school, University of the greatest city in the world, School of Medicine, and tell them, have you never put on a Hank Williams record? And in the immortal words of Prince, you get those at the Wreck of Stowe. For those of you who hadn't seen Under the Cherry Moon or listened to The Greatest Musician That Ever Was, you need to make that happen in exactly 1 hour and 7 minutes. You've waited to the end of the show, of course. When you are depressed, you go into a bar, you grab a whiskey, and you put on the Hank Williams, their tear in my beer. The blues was created for the burning essence of the soul to come out. So at this point, this man says, it is not clear whether depressed people begin to listen to more music to escape or whether listening to large amounts of music can lead to depression or both. So basically he said, you know, because we didn't ask really what they were depressed about, we simply guessed at it. We guessed at it that if they're listening to music and they're depressed, it's because of the music. Couldn't be the other way around. Now, it is also important, the quote goes on, also is important that reading was associated with less likelihood of depression. This is worth emphasizing. Grasp this, ladies and gentlemen. We've talked about this on this show 1,000,000,422,000,000,000,000,000 times. I'd like anyone to write that number down and send it to me, email jhatfield@naturalsuccessprinciples.com. You're going to have to replay what I said because I have no idea what it was. But I would like to see the number. It's very large, I'm sure. We've said it over and over and over and over again. And this gentleman says it right here. This is worth emphasizing because overall in the U.S., reading books is decreasing. While nearly all other forms of media use are increasing. We talked about it here. 3%, it is 3% of America that reads a book after high school. 3%. Reads an entire book. Now, lots of people buy books, and lots of people read chapter 1 and 2. But then lots of people put it right up on the shelf. Now, grasp this on what I just talked about here. Here's the key to this report. Follow the dollars, ladies and gentlemen, because this study is now going to be used as a basis for saying kids have problems. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, another governmental body, major depressive disorder is the leading cause of disability thought to affect 1 in 12 teenagers. Let me throw this at you again. When you are on disability, the government will hand you money. If now, because of this study, depressive disorder, there can be a rush of teens going to get their disability payments. It could happen. The good news is the depressed ones aren't reading this report. So, but they do listen to the radio and the internet, so I just messed up, I think. I just told a lot of them what to do. I've got to say that the opposite would be true, that the depressed listens to music. Because I'm sorry, I do turn on music in sad moments. To bring you out of it. And I can read myself into depression when I read the news. Therefore, I then go to listen to music to bring myself out of it. But the scary thing is, this study doesn't have any substance. The man who did the study, Dr. Primack, says, We don't know if it was depression listening to music or music causing depression or both or whatever. We don't know. We just said it. Hey. But the important thing that what he said after that was no one's reading. Nobody's reading. We were in a bookstore just last weekend. I was so happy. There were so many non-pregnant teens around that store because teens' births are down. So I now know that I was witnessing it live at the bookstore. Those teens were there at the bookstore. And the bookstore had five full 6-foot shelves out front on the sidewalk, books for a dollar. We scoured those shelves for hours. Books for a dollar. We're going to take home a veritable cornucopia of reading material. And we did. But again, let's talk about the teens. The teens were there at the bookstore. Lots of them. Whole bunch of them. None of them looked currently pregnant. I'm just telling you right now. I do not know about later on that evening because none of these teens were reading a book. In fact, the majority of the teens were out front sitting on a park bench. I believe two of them were drinking coffee. The rest of them were smoking cigarettes. Most of them were saying the F-bomb. And the other ones were saying the S-bomb. All of them dressed depressingly. No music was heard. I mean, this is a fact. Witnessing it. There were tons of teens there. No one was reading. They were hanging out for the coffee and possibly the free Wi-Fi. I have no idea. So now that this study is out, bookstores, does it do yourself justice to give away Wi-Fi? Does it do a bookstore justice to have coffee and free Wi-Fi inside its doors? Because U.S. reading books is decreasing, while other forms of media use are increasing. So if a teenager, a non-pregnant teenager, comes to your store, grabs a cup of coffee and goes over with their laptop, gets online and starts doing whatever they do online, how's that getting them to read? I think you're contributing to depression, bookstores. I see the problem here. So now we have to have a campaign. Stop. Stop bookstores. We got to close them all because they're obviously causing depression. Because there were a lot of teens out front of this bookstore obviously depressed. Obviously. Most of them were cursing very well and very upset about their cursing. Yes. Let's bring some class to this show, can we? Somebody say hello. Depression, teens, and lies, stuff like that. To let Adele Omani tell you about how incredible you can be. This is Adele Omani's Magic Minute, brought to you right here on Fix the Family, Fix America.
My name is Adele Omani, and I would like to welcome you to Adele's Magic Minute. On this part of the show, I would like to be able to bring you answers to questions that are being answered about attracting love, wealth, happiness, success into your life. When you allow yourself to flow with the universe, the energy being you are. Petty differences, stressful confrontations will never happen again. Understand it's your decision who you desire around you and their values. Those not of your values, when given no more thought, will drift from your experience. You attract to you what you think on, give your attention to, and focus upon. And you realize this, you will be able to see this from your emotions, because it's your emotions that are your indicator to where you are and where you want to be. If you're in a situation or you have a confrontation with somebody and this doesn't feel good, this makes you feel bad, then this is telling you that you are moving yourself into a lower vibration. You are disconnecting yourself from your high energy where you need to be. So these situations where you feel bad are ones that you want to move away from. And it's the same with when you want to attract into your life. You want to attract things, situations, experiences, and people that make you feel good. You have to do this by actually resonating out the same vibration. So therefore, you have to be in that emotional state first and foremost to attract back. Now, I call this your emotional guidance system because it's very, very powerful. And when you start to understand your feelings, you will know when any situation, any experience, any communication with another person is right for you, because it will feel right or it will feel wrong. And you must realize that this isn't just feelings, you know, just something going on in your stomach. This is your energy talking to you. This is your energy communicating energetically with you, because you are picking up on the energy of the situation, the person, the experience. And if that energy is on a lower vibration to you, then it will not match where you should be, and it will make you feel bad. So once you get to know how to read your emotions, you will be in a much, much better place to be able to know which situations are right for you. And it is also down to, once you find your situations and the ones that don't feel good to you, is taking your focus off these. Whether it be something that a person is saying, whether it be a certain experience, whether it be that you've been asked to go and do something and it doesn't feel right to you, all you have to do is to take your focus away from these energies. Take your focus off the person, take your focus off the experience. And what happens is, because they're on a lower vibration to you, the universe will not attract them into your experience. It will only attract where you are resonating from. So if people are around you and they're on a lower vibration, when you take your attention off them, the universe will move them out of your experience. And I can say this with absolute fact, because I've worked with so many clients who have needed to move themselves away from others, and every single time it happens. So there need never, ever be conflict in your life again. When you learn to live from your emotions, you learn to energetically communicate.
Oh, man. Adele Omani, you can find her at adeleomani.com, or, of course, facebook.com, where you can friend her and I. Like us both, please. Adele Omani and Jack Hatfield, the Jack Hatfield on Facebook, Twitter, twitter.com/Jack Hatfield, but that's Adele Omani's Magic Minutes. Amazing, the stuff. I mean, she's teaching years of wisdom in just a matter of minutes for you. And we're getting so many letters. And anyone can email me. You can email me anytime you desire, Jay Hatfield of Natural Success Principles. And let's talk about fixing the family, fixing America. And this, again, Adele's over in the UK. She understands that we are fix the family, fix the world. Because, again, once the nations are in order, the world becomes right in order. So let's get this thing cranked up. You are at Fix the Family, Fix America.
Welcome to the Fix the Family, Fix America Radio Show.
Hey, folks. It's time for the show.
Welcome.
Now, here's your host for all this craziness, Jack
Hatfield. Succeed, and we can do it all together, because for you to succeed and cultivate your personal life, that means you have the ability to put your family in order. And when you put your family in order, then the nation can then get in order. And then when we put this nation in order, then we can put the world right in order. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your humble host on Fix the Family, Fix America, Jack Hatfield, right here, right now. And now, if you recall, like you were going to school, you stood up, looked left, and said,
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now, grasp this, ladies and gentlemen. We've got Adele Armani. The wondrous, beautiful woman that she is across over there at UK, helping you get better, because she knows it's only going to help her and her nation, her and her world. We've teamed up. We've got more things coming up for us, too, and this format of this show is going to change as well. This is going, it's growing by leaps and bounds. This is the fastest growing family talk show in all of the universe. And that's because you, that's right, the loyal listeners of this show are doing their part. Now, I've got a new study. Instead of grabbing people and telling them to listen to the show, it seems like a lot of people are forgetting what you say. I want you to email it out. When you're listening to this show on blogtalkradio.com/Jack Hatfield, email that link out and say, listen to this show. Or send out naturalsuccessprinciples.com and say, click on the player and start listening to this man's show. We put the email going. Get everyone on Twitter. Tell them, you need to follow this guy. You need to go friend him on Facebook. You need to follow him. Because he's telling all the stuff that he could tell you in 2 hours. He tells you all the other stuff that he doesn't have time for on Twitter and Facebook. It's very important. All right? Very, very important. Now, I want to talk about couples, ladies and gentlemen, husbands and wives. This is a sad story. I'm starting off the second hour with another sad and tragic story, but this one just came across me. Because there's so many, new deaths coming from cancer. We do We do Fix the Family, Fix America, or Fix the Family, Fix the World in a 4+1, our exclusive 4+1 method. That includes positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success. The plus one is disease and a diet. Now this, the wife died from cancer. Okay? Died from cancer. At age 63, after a 16-year battle with breast cancer. 16 years, a degenerative disease was a part of that family's life. Now, here's the tragic part of all this. His wife dies of cancer. He, at 64 years old, was driving home to make the funeral arrangements for his wife and died in a car crash. He was driving back home to arrange the funeral for his wife. Recently retired from a sign company, he and his wife leave behind 3 children and 7 grandchildren. Now that family is having a joint funeral for both their parents. See how quickly things can change for a family. And our hearts go out to this. The 3 children and 7 grandchildren. This is just amazing. But that story just struck me because, one, the degenerative disease was affecting this family for the last 16 years. And then in the span of 48 hours, that family lost every parent. Children lost both parents. It's amazing. Stunning and just crushing. That's why we fix the family. You love your family. You trust your family. You communicate with your family as fast and as often as you can. All right, now I want to start off this little bit because spring is here. Lots of people are going out in the sun, or lots of people showing more skin in their clothing because it's starting to get warm. Well, there was a lady named Cerise Harding. She was a young woman, just only 21 years old. Of her head as well as under her. She never sat in the sun. She hated the sun. She never went to sunbeds, never used anything that put UV light on her body. After being diagnosed with skin cancer, she died 4 months later. She had only recently celebrated her 21st birthday when doctors discovered the skin cancer. It was amazing. Never in a million years did we think anything like this could happen to Cerise because she didn't go in the sun. Now, of course, our condolences to parents and brothers. I mean, that's fast and very tragic. 21-year-old with skin cancer dying 4 months later. Now, in the UK, two people under 35 in Britain are diagnosed with lignant melanoma every day. Cancer researcher from the UK said 80% of all skin cancers are directly related to overexposure to the sun. He then says it's impossible to say what happened in this individual case. But we cannot stress how important it is to protect yourself from the sun. In fact, there's a charity's 2011 SunSmart campaign revealing an alarming tripling in melanoma rates among British 15 to 34-year-olds since the late 70s. In the late 70s, there were 290 cases of malignant melanoma in 15 to 34-year-olds. Now, more than 900 are being diagnosed with the disease each year, more than two a day. Used to be 1.8 cases of melanoma per 100,000 people. Now it's 5.9. But Carolyn Cerny, Cancer Research UK's SunSmart campaign manager, says it's very worrying to see the number of young adults being diagnosed with this potentially fatal disease has risen so dramatically, since cancer is typically a disease that affects older people. Young women in particular need to take care more, since they're twice as likely to be diagnosed with melanoma than young women, because of they get out in the sunshine. Okay, we have this one girl who abhorred the sun. Friends and family says she hated the sun. She had dark eyes, dark hair, hated the sun. Never got a sunburn. Dies of skin cancer in 4 months. Well, here's the little problem, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you, but for the past 10 years, what is the only thing you've heard about the sun? It's the most horrible thing in the universe. Have you not heard your child needs to be covered? Slather. The sales of sunscreens have increased thousands of percent in the last 10 years. There are now more bottles of sunscreen, different brands of sunscreen than ever before. And if that's the case and the sun is so bad, why is all of this cancer of the skin going up? And why, oh, why aren't people in indigenous countries with no access to sunscreen whatsoever not getting skin cancer at all? Well, here's something that you might want to know, ladies and gentlemen. The study published in a prominent cancer journal has now contradicted official advice about sunlight. Insufficient exposure to ultraviolet radiation may be the important risk factor for cancer in Europe and North America. Deaths from a range of cancers of the reproductive digestive systems were twice as high in New England as in the Southwest, despite a diet that varies little between regions. In the 506 regions, they found a close inverse correlation between cancer mortality and levels of ultraviolet B light. The likeliest mechanism for a protective effect of sunlight is vitamin D, which is synthesized by the body in the presence of ultraviolet B. Northern parts of the United States may be dark enough in the winter. Vitamin D synthesis shuts down completely. While the study focused on white Americans, the same geographical trend is now affecting black Americans, where overall cancer rates are significantly higher. Dark-skinned people require more sunlight to synthesize vitamin D. In fact, now there's a new campaign to possibly take vitamin D out of the vitamin family and put it in the antioxidant family because it's almost like a steroid. It actually shuts, it actually stops the swelling and increases your body's ability to heal. Other cancers affected by sunlight include cancers of the bladder, uterus, esophagus, rectum, and stomach. This myth, this continuation of the myth that the sun causes cancer is wrong. Exposure to the sun actually decreases cancer rates across the board of all the cancers I just spoke about. Now, does that mean that one sun exposure does not contribute to skin cancer? Absolutely not. All right, what they're finding is skin cancers are likely related to a large distortion most people have in their omega-6 to omega-3 fat ratio. The number one ingested source of omega-6 fat is what? Soybeans. Soybean oil, corn oil, canola oil. It's in every product, almost. Go to your grocery store. So sunblock has been found to be quite toxic. The sensible approach would be to limit sunblock so you never burn. The key is the burning. Getting in the sun enough so that you can have a good time out in the sun without burning is also the key. So you can't have it both ways. You can't avoid the sun and eat the way that we're eating, the diet of omega-6 fats, okay? It's the sunburn, excess omega-6 fats, or no sun and excess omega-6 fats that increase your risk of skin cancer. Now, skin cancer is relatively benign when you compare it with breast, colon, and prostate cancers. So you can't avoid the sun if you don't change your diet. So why not change your fat content in your diet and eat more omega-3s and use sensible sun exposure guidelines and reap the benefits of sunlight, getting that vitamin D? Vitamin D has been associated with the improvement of the following conditions, ladies and gentlemen. Not only has it optimized bone health, there is strong evidence of it stopping diabetes, heart disease, arthritis, infertility and PMS, fatigue, depression, and seasonal affective disorder. What? Depression? It must be no music coming from the sun. Autoimmune disorders, obesity, and Syndrome X. I'm choking to death. I need sunlight. Most of my exposure to ultraviolet B comes from monitors. And it's not true. There's no UVB coming out of monitors. Anyway, the vitamin D in milk is vitamin D2 and is synthetic. Vitamin D2 is called ergocalciferol. And that's not the vitamin D you really want. Because the vitamin D obtained from sunlight or cod liver oil or natural food sources is vitamin D3. And the best place to get vitamin D is from sunlight, the UVB. And this is one of the dark-skinned people require 10 to 20 times the sun exposure length than lighter-skinned people to build up the same amount of vitamin D. This is one of the major reasons why African Americans have a much higher rate of cancer in North America than other ethnic groups. The RDA of vitamin D is 400 units is absolutely inadequate for most people who do not have exposure to regular sunshine. Now, I'm not trying to turn this tragedy of this young girl into a soapbox statement, but what I'm trying to tell you is spring is in the air. It is time for you to get out and get your vitamin D and start working on getting better and not having years of just fighting off degenerative diseases. poor woman fought breast cancer for 16 years, not saying the sun probably would have changed anything. Don't know. But if study after study after study is coming up and saying vitamin D is such an incredible thing that we're not even paying attention to. In fact, diet and sunlight's now being linked to breast cancer in general. The uptake of omega-6s and the low exposure to the sunlight is causing lots of problems. But yet, over and over and over for the past 10 to 12 to 15 years, all you've heard is you need to eat your corn oil and your margarine. And you need to stay out of the sun. Over and over and over. Who doesn't know that that's a... Who has not heard that rule? You can hear teenagers all the time talking about, oh my goodness, you don't want to stay out in the sun. You better put on some sunscreen. I myself have been guilty of it. Used to put on sunscreen like crazy. Stop doing it. Stop getting burnt. Reading, ignorance, and stupidity has caused more death and problems for this world than all wars, tornadoes, hurricanes, murders combined. If our teenagers are listening to music, and becoming depressed, the number one teenage disability, and they're being told not to go in the sunlight, which has been proven to stop depression on a constant basis, quick back, right back. Is here, summer's here. Please do not fear the sun and act like it's killing you, people. The sun gives plants life, the sun gives everything its essence. That and water makes every other living thing out there grow. And for it to suddenly be treated like a pariah that you should stay away from. And it's much better if you stay away from it by slathering on these chemicals that I made in a lab. Crazy. Since I've been accosted at ending the shows with Moms and Dads of the Week before, let's go into Mom and Dad of the Week of the Day, of the right now, so that we can talk about something else before the end of the show. And again, to get the show all the time, you simply go to blogtalkradio.com/Jack Hatfield or listen to it from naturalsuccessprinciples.com. Then you can follow everything we talk about on the show all week long when we hear of it. Twitter.com/Jack Hatfield and Facebook.com/TheJackHatfield, and fix the family at both of those. Very important. Mom of the week. Mother was jailed. Now, get this. Mother was jailed after allegedly allowing her 3-year-old daughter to play with a pistol. I love reports that have to say allegedly. How would anyone know that the mommy gave the 3-year-old a pistol, ladies and gentlemen? Allegedly, someone said it, right? So that's allegedly. If I went and said that lady right there gave her 3-year-old a pistol yesterday, that is allegedly giving her, I mean, there's no proof, me saying it. Well, the problem is, Wendy Fuentes was filmed handing the Glock pistol to her 3-year-old and laughing as she said, "Show me how you point the gun at mommy." Now, another twist to this story is this mother is in Arizona. The gun was a Glock pistol. The same pistol, same kind of handgun fired by Gerald Lohner at our congresswoman, at the Arizona congresswoman. Now, according to the arrest warrant, police came across the video and photos after being granted a search warrant to examine a car belonging to Luis Batista Ortega on a separate matter. Okay? Completely separate matter. During the search of the vehicle, police found the camera and incriminating photos and video of Wendy Fuentes giving her 3-year-old a pistol, laughing, saying, "Show me how you point the gun at mommy." The video was shot as Wendy sat on the bed with her daughter playing. Remember now, mothers spend the most quality child care with their children. And we have to chalk this up to actual, you know, in a study, this would be part of that. And the video clearly shows the toddler pointing the weapon at her mother in Arizona. Now, officers have not located the gun, but they did locate the bullets. Now, here's the another twist of the story. When Wendy was questioned by police, she started crying. She was very upset. She wasn't upset that she gave the gun to the child or that this mother-daughter teaching moment was probably not, you know, the best teaching moment. She was upset she didn't know the gun was loaded. However, officers didn't find the gun, but they did find the bullets. Mother of the week, Wendy Fuentes, out of Arizona. Now in jail. Can anyone say, wow? All right, here, this actually, I was going to say this was Father of the Week, but now we found out that it's actually another Mother of the Week. Okay? A toddler, we spoke about this last week, brutally beaten by his foster mother's boyfriend. The horrible tragedy of this is just yesterday, Kimmel Orem passed away. The toddler died from the injuries of the foster mother's boyfriend. Now, he was hospitalized on March 17th. He's been battling these injuries since then, March 17th. He was found with blunt force injuries, cuts, broken ribs, and damage to his lungs. They have now ruled the death as a homicide. So we had the mom of the week, foster dad of the week, 2 weeks ago, I believe, on this show, and now the toddler has passed away. Now, paramedics found the boy, Louis Mosley, unconscious in a Brooklyn home in New York, after responding to a 911 call. Later, a teenager named nicknamed Killer was quizzed by police over the brutal beating of the toddler. And then Kasheen Oliver walked into a police station in East New York after police announced he was wanted for questioning. Now, the boy's mother, 32-year-old Tijuana Cummings, she left the tot with Oliver so that she could take her two other children to school. She called 911 after returning back to her apartment, found the boy could not breathe and was coughing up blood. The teenager, like I said, the teenager nicknamed Killer is the 32-year-old Tijuana Cummings boyfriend, 19-year-old boyfriend. So, unfortunately, that child has passed away from the ignorance of both mom and a teenager who had nothing in it. Now, here's something else that we have to throw this in. Tijuana Cummings is saying she was innocent in this ordeal. Okay? The city's Administration for Children's Services has asked the family court to put Cummings' other children, the 9-year-old boy and another child, age 10, in protective care, because neighbors have claimed there's always shouting and screaming and a baby constantly crying from Cummings' apartment. Now, a child worker visited his apartment last month but found nothing to suggest the tot was in danger. That's right. A child worker visited her apartment last month on the other charges and wrote down, "It's all good." Maribel Pajada, who lives next door, alleged Cummings was horrible to the boy. She said sometimes when the baby was crying, they would put the baby outside of their apartment door and leave him there by himself for hours sometimes. Everyone would hear him crying. He would hit his head against the door trying to get in. It was awful. Now, the 19-year-old killer has an older sister, Jackie, that said he would never raise a hand against a child. My brother will never hurt a baby, not in a million years. Tijuana Cummings has been charged previously with 2 counts of assault, menacing criminal mischief and harassment, and shoplifting in October 2010. How, again, we discussed this just last week and the week before. How does the bond between parent and child get broken so badly that it is such a burden on a mother to put the crying baby outside the door. Was it because she was spending time with her new teen boyfriend? Absolutely, absolutely crazy. Now, here's two things in health that is showing up on the radar when really it has been not on the radar. Right back. All right, now, can there be, well, Andrew Hennessy lay shivering in his bed, pounding his head grew steadily worse. What seemed like the case of flu developed into a severe ear infection, okay? Antibiotics failed to shift after several days. Pus drenched his pillow, and he started to vomit violently. When a friend called in to see him, he asked for them to phone an ambulance. He said he never felt so ill in all his life, but he still does not think it was a hospital case. He was too sick to protest. Okay. In the UK, 911 is 999. Doesn't that make more sense to hit the same button over and over and over versus going all the way across the number pad for two more buttons? Meaning, if you fall on the floor and you can reach up to that phone, you can barely push that 9, you're still an inch and a half away from the last two digits of emergency in America. But in the UK, you just pound that 9, and someone's coming. Anyway, just had to bring that up. That's just funny. Anyway, Andrew thought he was fighting an ear infection, but what happened is the bacteria that caused it filtered into his bloodstream and attacked his heart, and his heart muscles becoming weaker. His heart was racing at 200 beats per minute, which should have been between 60 and 100. He was rushed into intensive care and hooked up to intravenous antibiotics. What the hospital then took a culture from the ear and conclude concluded that he picked up a waterborne infection, right? A bacterial infection carried on droplets in the shower. 1 minute, he's a young man enjoying life to the full. Next minute, his heart is about to burst from a bacterial and virus infection. Myocarditis is something we are diagnosing more and more. It is a major cause of sudden adult death syndrome. You knew about sudden infant death syndrome. Now you know there's a sudden adult death syndrome. Myocarditis can be mild, sometimes resolves itself. The rhythm of the heart can be disturbed. Less strength to pump, working a half to three quarters of what it should. Reaction of the body is trying to make the heart go faster, which causes atrial fibrillation, which is an abnormal heart rate with symptoms such as chest pain, fever, tiredness, and shortness of breath. Heart rate should be between 60 to 100 beats, but when you start atrial fibrillation, the heart rate may well be to 150 beats a minute. Treatments can include medication, pacemaker, antibiotics. Now, again, this myocarditis was caused by a bacterial infection from his shower. Is it just me, or is there more and more studies of bacterial issues coming up and coming in the world? when we have all the antibiotics in the world being taken by everybody and their mama, because what is the first thing you get when you go say you don't feel good? An antibiotic. Now, here's another uncommon thing. Well, becoming common. I'm tired of the uncommon becoming common. Headaches, eczema, tummy pain. Jenny Mastermain's main memories of childhood are his arms and scalp. Ever since she was a little girl. She was not only desperately uncomfortable, she was just looked horrible, she says. She had a visibly bloated belly, occasional cramping, terrible diarrhea. Doctors prescribed creams and oils for the eczema, the bloating and gut pain. They put down the hormones, and diarrhea was just one of those things. In her 20s and 30s, she became solitary and depressed, obviously listened to a lot of music. Found out she has a histamine intolerance. Histamine is produced by cells in the body when it's undergoing an allergic reaction, and it can be released during an infection. Well, if the immune system detects something harmful, such as a virus or bacteria, histamine increases blood flow to the affected area. While we're familiar with the body producing histamine as a reaction to hay fever, histamine intolerance refers to histamine that enters the body through certain foods. And because it's ingested and goes through the gut, it produces a very different reaction. Usually there's a digestive enzyme in the gut, diamine oxidase, breaks down the histamine absorbed through foods. However, when levels of this enzyme are low, eating some foods lead to a buildup of histamine, producing a wide range of symptoms such as hives, itching, eczema, tummy pain, diarrhea, rashes, and headaches. Foods with high levels of histamine include red wine, beer, cheese, yeast, shellfish, some fruits, vegetables, most fish, chocolate, and cured meat such as salami. So if you have an overload of histamine, you could potentially have a tummy ache and produce hives, itching, eczema, tummy pain, and diarrhea, rashes, and headaches. Histamine intolerance is often wrongly diagnosed as irritable bowel syndrome. There is a blood test to measure levels of diamine oxidase. She ate plenty of fish and vegetables and fruit according to what everyone says you should do. But the problem was she had that histamine intolerance. She's now avoiding an awful lot, long list of foods to avoid, and she does not like that. But she has improved. She has more energy. The depression she suffered for 7 years have lifted. She doesn't itch anymore, and her skin has improved. This diet that she did basically was cooking fresh ingredients and not eating most processed foods. She couldn't have anything to include tomato, vinegar, or soy. So basically she gives her digestive system a rest and not getting it constantly bombarded by histamine-rich foods. She can now have odd glass of red wine and so forth and so on without any problems. So that's something to look to, ladies and gentlemen. When you start having these issues, try to figure out something's wrong here. Now, I have had 2 bouts of some sort of hives in my life. And I would love to look back at the days up until that point. I can guarantee you they were very stressful, and they probably included the eating a lot of exactly what I just read. Interesting. Going to have to look into that a little deeper. All right, you want some signs that you're healthy so you can feel good and get yourself back out in the sun in the springtime? A healthy individual's nails will be pink, firm, and smooth. Subtle variations are common. Touch right here, two wrinkles there, no big deal. But yellow nails could indicate a respiratory disease like chronic bronchitis or thick nails. Same thing. Or indentions across the nails may point to diabetes, while spoon-like nails curving outwards may be a sign of low iron. Number two, how's your pee look? Preferably your urine should be the color of a manila file folder, a pale yellow. Take that sign as healthy, but urine varies in shades of yellow depending on how much water you drink. Drink a lot of fluids? Urine will likely be clear, medically no problem. However, if you're dehydrated, your urine will have a dark brownish tinge like tea. Beyond simple shades, if you notice any other major changes, sweet smell, odd odor, drop of red, or some other color change that seems unrelated to food, pay attention to that. How's your resting heart rate? Is it around 70 beats per minute? That's a reasonable target. In fact, 60 to 100 is considered normal for adults. Heart rates outside of that range can cause serious health problems and indicate an underlying health issue. To measure your pulse, place two fingers on the thumb and thumb side of your wrist. When you feel your pulse, look at your watch, count the number of beats in 15 seconds, multiply this by the number 4 to get your heart rate. And then how's your skin elasticity? Grab the back of your hand and check it out. If it goes right back and returns to its normal position, you're doing good. If it doesn't, you're kind of dehydrated. Now, day in and day out, we're flooded with information on disease. In fact, we talk about it a ton here because we talk about disease and the diet. But rarely do we ever hear what it means to be in good health. Now, what I just told you is no means complete, but feel good about being healthy, ladies and gentlemen. Feel good about getting out in that sun. Feel good about eating right. Feel good about not taking in those omega-3s. I mean sixes. Good Lord. Sorry. Feel good about that and make it happen and continue. Do not waver. Do not waver. Now, secrets, real quick. Oh, I'm running out of time. We run out of time on the show faster than any other show. But we have a good time doing it. We've talked about music and depression, teens and the CDC kind of fudging the numbers a little bit. We've talked about Moms of the Week, tragic stories, and then we've talked about two other miracles of a sextuplet that's living on 20 months out of the hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, we bring it all together here on Fix the Family, Fix America, and we want you to tell everybody about us. Send them an email. Friend me up on Twitter. Excuse me. Friend me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Now, get your work done. Go home and kiss your significant other. Have fun with your children. Put them to bed and have yourself a great libation. Red wine has histamine. Have some of that. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to Fix a Family, Fix America. Look forward to having you again. No choking. Look forward to having you again real soon. Fix the family. Fix America.